Welcome to Star for the Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. Up on the SFB Online, Fed Come Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just remember how to join us. We have a talk cast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the Talks website at www.talkshoe.com. And search for quality 17702 or SFU on call or Starfleet Universe on call. You should be able to find us there. Now, if you want the best online experience, yes, the best online experience, you want to go to twitch.tv, yes, twitch.tv/SFU on call, and you will find us there. And you will hopefully be able to join the chat room. Obviously, we had some technical difficulties last week, and forgive me for that. I'm not sure exactly what happened. I'm hoping we will not have the same issue this week. Well, we'll have to wait and see. But if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuonclaw@gmail.com. It's sfuonclaw@gmail.com. Also, follow on the Twitters. We have the podcast account, which is sfuonclaw. You can follow the personal account, which is Paul Franz, P-A-U-L-F-R-A-N-Z. There's no T in that. And my business account, which is Franz Games, F-R-A-N-Z-G-M-E-S. And if you want to, you also can follow me on Blue Sky. Currently, my personal account, I guess, /business account is friendsgames.com. If you want to follow the podcasting account, just go to the account. It's sfuoncall.bsky.social. So hopefully I'll be changing the sfuoncall.com very soon. I just have to work on that. I was a little busy last weekend. Moving onward and forward, of course, it's a lovely talk. It gets into podcasts available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. When it comes to news this week, not much happening there, though. Seems like that Daniel Cast has been working hard on Rumors of War, which is the next module from Starmada. And because I know that because of Steve Cole has been sending him graphics for that module, for that rule book. So I can't wait for the next rule book coming out of from Daniel Cast. That'd be fantastic. Moving on one and forward, we have the found on online store for this week, which is Starfleet Times 41 through 45. Just note, this next week is going to be the last Starfleet Times episode. So still only $7.95 for a pack of five. The five issues. In this case, 41 is the Scary Ships 1998 Part 2, Andromedan and Sartorian Tournament Ship Changes, which should be interesting to see what they put in there, because it's been a while. Issue number 42, which is Strange Days, Strange Ships, New Tournament Units. Issue number 43 is SB Back on Track, New Freighter Variations. Issue number 44, Hefty and Broad Being Gorns, 9 SSDs. Obviously, 43, as we back on track, I'm willing to bet Steve Cole was talking about how they're going to get things going again after the deal got done. And also back to issue number 45, which is Terminator Cruises SSDs for the 11 Omega Octant Empires presented in module Omega number 1. And obviously, those don't match the current ones, which we actually were on SFB Online. We were working to final ships, and that got dropped off by ADB. Obviously, I think the big issue is that not as much interest versus the regular tournament ships. Moving onward and forward, when it comes to the SFB Online tournament, Star for Star 18 tournament, looks like we have a decision on the non-aggression, and that we might be talking about more about that tonight. And also looks like Jack Taylor is replacing Stephen McCann in the Win Ox box, which is going to be interesting because Jack Taylor's never, at least he's not usually, I have not seen him fly that in a tournament yet. So he might practice some in it, but I don't think he's played much of it, of course. And this is the ship that Stephen McCann usually flies in, and he's been very successful in. So moving onward and forward to the online client, and a quick feature for Carl Magnus, who mentioned we'd like to have this one little feature, which is relatively simple, which is as a feature which turns the battery available to red if the battery available turns negative. If it's zero, that's fine. If it's negative, it turns red to warn you basically that your battery available is negative. Also, to help out Frank LeMay and Matthew Potter, that I created a video on how to do race-specific refits for the general units because of I was getting frustrated with Matthew for not doing it correctly. But of course, I was not giving them the proper information about, okay, this is how you do it right. And Matthew, now that he knows what I want and now knows how to do it and what these things truly mean. Because the big thing here, if you looked at the video, the crucial part is that you've got the race slash then the refit. That's a critical part of that. And when you do that, then the client goes, hey, this is a race-specific refit. So this gets applied on top of the generic race refit, and then so forth. So it worked out quite well, and I'm hoping we'll get updates to the general units from Matt on those ships and doing it the way I want them to be done and have it so that they work properly, because the big issue I've had, the reason why I had the frustration with this, because that, as you heard last week, which is that there was a, with that, if you don't do it right, then it breaks things. And then I get a bug about it, and then I have to go fix it manually. And I have to go back and fix it every single time Matt updates the ship. I have to go back and fix it again. You know, that's why I got frustrated. But you know, of course, it's my fault. I'll take. You know, meaning it's my fault because I never communicated exactly how to do it to Matt, and definitely I should have done that sooner than I did. When it comes to library progress, actually, I did get quite a bit of things updated last week. Mainly, there were some feds that needed to be updated. I think there was a couple Lyrans and Hydrans, including a couple fighters, I think. So hopefully that'll help Frank and his campaign to move forward. And other than that, there was nothing in the FedCom library updated. So with that is the news for this week. And it's me, Savannah Paul Friends, welcoming you to Start with the Universe on call. And tonight, well, definitely got me. I'm hoping Doug dropped off, but there might be internet issues. If there are, maybe you can have him call in and we'll figure out something along those lines. But until that point in time, you got me. Also, we got the Twitch stream going this week. No, it looks like that got all fixed up, which is awesome. And I'm just there. Okay, now I'm all set when it comes to Twitch, which I'm barely up. No, I think no matter what I do, I'm gonna fuck with right at the beginning of every single podcast. But I could definitely, things I can do beforehand. But anyhow, more to the point, topics for the evening. What we're going to do, well, at least what I'm going to do, because it looks like Doug currently dropped out, and hopefully he will be able to make it back or text me or something like that, because I do not have things muted. So at the moment, if you hear some bips and bleeps, then I would say, That's the reason. But anyhow. There it is. Quick note. I think I might have mentioned last week, but I'll mention it again this week, which is Jack Taylor has officially replaced Stephen McCann won the round one against Jude Hornberg. And Jack Taylor's issue is that he got thrown a curveball to a certain degree. The one thing that was required that if he takes up, you know, plays round one again is what it ends up being. In place of Stephen McCann, he has to fly Stephen McCann's ship. Now, Stephen McCann likes this one ship, which he has played very often and been very successful, which is basically the Wynn Oxbox Phaser Boat, which is, there's four option mounts. Three of those option mounts will have phaser ones, and one option mount has phaser G. Now, way back in the day, there's a little bit of history for those of you who don't know this, because you don't play tournament games. Back in the 15, 20 years ago, probably closer to 20, sometime around there, the Wynn Oxbox was allowed to have two phaser Gs. So at the same time, yeah, that was a nasty little son of a gun. Because obviously, the beauty about the phaser G is that when you get up and close, it costs 1 point of energy to do the possibility of 16 points of damage. Now, the obvious issue is that you have to get nice and close, like within range two. At the very least, to do that kind of damage, usually range one, or even range zero, but usually range one is the one you go for. So you have two fully overloaded photons for 2 points of power. At range one. Now, as I said, very short range. So, but they discussed it and went, you know, that's just too powerful of a weapon to have two of them on the same ship. So they went, you know, it's only allow one. So it's still pretty nasty. And of course, on the Winox box, what does that do? The Winox box has lots and lots of power to do reinforcement. More importantly, tractoring. That's one of the key elements of the Winox box when it comes to the phasers. Now, obviously, phaser one, he now has the phaser board has seven phaser ones, of course, has the one phaser G, so has four phaser threes, and an additional three phaser threes, I think it is. So I think it's like two 360 phaser threes and one rear extended phaser three. I think that's right. I have to look. It's been a while since I looked at that ship, but I just wanted to bring it up, brief mention of that, just because of Jack Taylor is going to be flying a ship that he's not used to flying. So it should be an interesting game. I've not actually seen any announcement to when that is supposed to be played. I'm going to do one more quick double check. I looked at it earlier, and I don't think I saw it. We're going to talk about the other game that had to be decided by Mr. Patrick. Okay. Ba-ba. Okay. Da-da-da. Nope. Okay. Nope. Definitely, I double-checked, and... No, there is no time stated for that game. You know, obviously, I would like to watch it. Okay, the other one, which needed a judge on, which was Stephen McCann. Sorry, Stephen Patrick. I'm sorry. I got McCann on the brain. So anyway, Steve Patrick. And that was non-aggression. Now, as Peter Bakia said himself, where is it? Where did he exactly? I don't want to touch that non-aggressive situation with a 10-foot plasma. And so Petrick fortunately came back. He was sick. And finally, he was able to log in and check things out. He got the information, got emails from people. And of course, the big thing with non-aggression is that you're supposed to have a time limit when you need to actually be actively engaged. And the big issue with non-aggression is, I think it was Carl Magnus that mentioned it, which is the whole thing of, want to make sure I quote him right. I don't see it. Basically, it comes down to, it's like porn. You know it when you see it. So,
The quote was obscenity.
oh.
Yeah, there may not be a legal definition of it, but I know it when I see it. That was
Right.
a famous judge quote. Yeah.
Yep. And Ron, Captain Ron, mentioned that he said, I'm sorry, I have to chime in. I did not plan to turn out and castle from the get-go. Turn one, I own two overloads and two standards. The plan was to get a shot at range eight and move off until without getting caught by the drones. I used this plan against Droid a few years ago. He disperses his scatter pack and his ship launches in a wave in front of the ship, and I ended up at a range five shot by killing a few drones. Justin stayed back from his drones, the scatter pack drones, which is a valid tactic, i.e., force your opponent to go through your drones to get to you. That's a completely valid tactic. Yes, I could have turned in and probably gotten shot. I would have had to use my head to get away, and I hate doing that early in the game, and I can totally understand that. But if you don't head, you face 14 drones in three waves during turn two. In theory, well, give me a sec here.
Well, nobody is required
Oh
to throw
yeah.
themselves on the horns of their opponent.
Oh, understood. I was just checking on one consideration to make sure that I got it right, which is that Justin, Ron's opponent, is flying the Zinni. Because he mentioned that he has to face 14 drones. Well, the only person that can pull that off is the Zinni. Because the Zinni is the only one that has double control. And I just wanted to double check that he didn't misstate something or something illegal was going on. That's all I wanted to do a quick check on. Said, now I'm a bit rusty and oh, I forgot to launch drones on Impulse 32. Had I launched drones, I could have turned in and engaged in turn two on somewhat even odds. I could have parked and Wild Weasel. Most likely he then comes ahead of his drones unless I knock off both tractors and I get anchored. Which is definitely a possibility. Justin stayed behind me and lost four fast drones and shooting at number four, Impulse 32, knocking down 13. Now I have eight drones and two stacks on two hexes from my ship, and I was ending six hex, seven hexes away. In turn three, he parks with that. He said they parked for the first time. Because I have had a Zinni player who is prepared for me to park and come in and outmaneuver me in the past, he got around me and used his wide fire disruptors, which the Zinni does have, because it has the FAR and FAL disruptors, which is quite nice. So Ron planted ahead three tacks and move at negative nine as a tactic as if he came in. I had zero reinforcement up. He just headed and moved away, launching three drones Impulse 32 at range 20. I thought it was a bad move. If I don't move, it leaves him with two drones. Turn four got silly. As I have said, I like to have fun. Plotted -4, 0, and then -1. Moves intact to 0. Basically, that could be considered non-aggression. But at the same time, you know, you're stuck going backwards. Turn 5, plot 0, with 1 tack, then a speed 9 and impulse 4. In other words, he planned, okay, stop going backwards, now it's going to stop and go forward. Instead of turning in, engaging at even odds, I launch one launch of drones and weapons each. Justin turns off, i.e. doesn't engage. Question if I move so soon. Charges me with non-aggression and refuses to continue to play. Ronald said, I will not say that Justin played to force me to engage a ship and eight drones in one turn, or he would claim non-aggression. I did not know that what was in Justin's head, but I do not claim that I plan to play a non-aggressive strategy. I really plan at all. Someone I know. I do not take this game that seriously. Many times I've lost games making stupid mistakes. Justin, you won by a judge ruling, and that's fine, but I will not be insulted in this way. Yeah. And quickly, Deep Cole went, guys, stop. When it comes to the whole discussion, he shut down the whole discussion of non-aggressive play. But I'm here. You're here. We can talk about it. Now, honestly, when it's from the sounds of it,
did they run up against the tournament time?
No. This is online. Online doesn't really, we don't really adhere to a specific time frame. Well, several weeks. Case,
the guy doing the accusing should have just said, okay, no problem, and just run him down over time.
Right. Oh, understood. Now, I think this is, from the sounds of it, it feels like that it is a two issues here. Number one, Ronald did not plan on staying slow and basically forcing the Zinni player, in this case Justin, to come in while he's going in reverse or sitting still and waiting for him to come in. No. But he got stuck. This is the way I see it. I see that Ronald got stuck. He thought that Justin was going to come in. But no, Justin turned away. And the problem with that, obviously, is that since Ronald had prepared for Justin to come in, he's like, okay, I'm going to sit still. And then as he comes in, I'm going to withdraw. You know, hopefully, you know, basically, that's going to be a surprise move. That, you know, Justin's not going to expect him to actually go in reverse. And the problem is, after he went into reverse, he stuck overall. Because to move forward, after moving in reverse, you first have to stop. Mm-hmm. And possibly, if you want to go forward faster, you have to pay for a quick reverse in that case.
Yeah, it sucks.
To go forward. Or you have to, I forget how many impulses you have to wake when you're changing directions like that. I think it might just be a standard 8.
So you screwed up.
Right. So, yeah. So I don't feel like his plan was for non-aggression, and it just, he got stuck. You know,
it basically he got in the corner and he ground his gears and his transmission went, screw you. And he said, okay, I give. basically.
Right. Is it three? He plotted a hit, three attacks, and six moves at negative nine as a tactic if he came in, which the problem is he didn't. Justin headed and moved away. Now, I'm the one thing that I don't understand here is when did Justin head away? Did he head away as soon as Ronald announced negative nine speed change? Or did he head away before that time?
Well, it depends. Yeah, I mean, there is that. If he thought he's going into a star castle, yeah, I could see him doing that. So, but that's kind of a big question there.
Yeah.
It's just one of those little things that makes a huge difference. But, yeah. I can see why someone wouldn't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah.
Especially if it had to be adjudicated.
Well, the big thing, the reason why it's adjudicated is because Justin said he wants a judge's ruling. Instead of, because from the sounds of it, Ron was correcting it. The only thing I would have to say about Ron's correction is that it could have been considered a little delayed in that, that Justin headed away and moved away on turn three. And turn four, he could have started at speed zero instead of negative four. And then as quickly as possible, started moving forward. And by turn five, he could have been going up to probably speed 20. By then,
what was his ship?
Ron was playing the Black Shark with one drone rack and one phaser one.
Oh, good lord!
In the options, so three drone racks versus four drone racks, and of course,
I never really liked that ship.
I know.
It's one of those not really good at one way or the other, kind of in the middling ships.
Yeah. Oh, agreed. And I know that's why you don't like it.
And it's also one that I've always thought shouldn't have bothered with it as a tournament ship. Because it was like every tournament ship they added adds a level of complexity to their balancing.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a whole other issue. So basically he screwed up and his opponent accused him of being non-aggressive.
Right.
But the opponent, it sounds like he had, did he have his, it sounds like he had his scatter pack out and active.
Yeah, he,
he's losing a big deal there. I mean, to me, it could also be sour grapes on the other side because, the Kazini player only gets one scatter pack.
Right.
Basically. I don't think they get to unload and make a second one. But that's actually a very huge deal. And if he's losing drone waves to the tactic... Yeah, but on the other hand, if he's not willing to go in and try to get a close-in hug with that ship, because that ship can take the damage, and he's against a ship in the GBR, can't really dish it the way that, like, a Fed can. So there's absolutely no reason for that Kazini not to go in and just overrun that GBR when he's got a whole bunch of drones on the board.
GBS.
Yeah, GBS, I'm sorry, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. And
let me clarify this one more time because I did come in. My system failed for a moment. I had to switch connections.
Mm-hmm.
The one who lost by being accused of non-aggressive play
right.
was which one?
Wibbis. GBS, Black Shark.
DBS. Okay.
Right.
So he screwed up and he got accused of the non-aggressive play by the player that didn't come in for the overrun.
Right.
And
yeah, the one thing that I don't
that's the part I find odd.
Yeah.
Because why would he head away from the GBS? Because if the GBS overloads everything and decides to take the shot, he's not going to cripple the Kazini. You know, unless you give him an absolutely optimal shot, he hits with everything, he maxes with everything. And even then, it's not going to be nearly as bad as, you know, a Fed or a Hydran or something like that. He'd still be able to get in there and anchor the guy.
Mm-hmm. The one question.
So, yeah.
Yeah, go. Yeah, I was going to say, it's one question that he didn't quite describe in enough detail for me. Is what did Ron do against the Zinni drones?
Did he weasel them off?
Yeah.
Because that's just, hey, that's just part of the Kazini blues, baby.
Right. Oh, I agree there. I agree there. But I, from my understanding, he didn't, because he said, I could have parked, and while Wiz most likely then comes in ahead of his drones, and unless I knock off both phasers and get anchored, I get anchored. Because he figured that if he does park and does wild weasel, basically the
that's a valid tactic, though. You know, you don't have to be 100% aggressive the entire time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
if
yeah.
If you've got 100, you know, gazillion points coming in at you, you're allowed the weasel to get
right.
Avoid
the
damage.
But Doug, what he's saying is that he didn't want to park in wild weasel because of he was concerned that Justin was going to come in with the Zinni, you know, in his Zinni, and decide to come in ahead of his drones, and then unless he actually fires and knocks out both of his the tractors, the Zinni is going to anchor him, and then he's dead.
Right, but I still don't see it on the Zinni part how he can justify saying non-aggressive play against the GBS.
Right. Oh.
If the GBS isn't weaseling. Because even if he doesn't weasel, if he just shoots down all the drones because he's going low speed and he's got reinforcement, just not wanting to take a ton of damage is not against the rules.
Right.
If he came in and he scored a little bit of damage and then he's played a runaway game, did a couple of internals to the Kazini, and then ran away at high speed and just tried to run out a clock, that's non-aggressive play.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
You know, I could see that being called out. But this just doesn't, it just seems like it should have been played out to me.
Agreed.
From what you've said.
Right. I agree.
And my limited understanding of it. For not having all of the stuff in front of me.
Yeah.
Or seeing them.
Here's what Justin said. Was one comment he made before or after? After he described it. Which is, Justin said, one last thought about as far as it goes rules. My understanding is more than 96 consecutive impulse of non-aggression was considered grounds for a forfeit of the match per a judge's ruling. There are most definitely rules for non-aggressive play. They're not new, and they allow a judge latitude to do anything from giving a warning to internals to a forfeit of the match, in my opinion.
Did he get to that point?
What point?
Did he get to 96 impulses?
Yeah, basically that's three turns.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm not sure if I'm not sure where Justin was when it comes to the Black Shark. Was he doing anything aggressive? Or was he just waiting for Ron to be aggressive. You know, I understand to a certain degree why you don't want to throw yourself against it. Again, you know, he's using all his power to reinforce his shields, and he's sitting there and castling. Yeah, you don't want to throw yourself against the brick wall, you know. But at the same time,
yeah, on the same time, him turning away,
right,
doesn't really make the case for it, because he's got a ton of damage coming in that this guy's going to try to mitigate. And he turns away. This prevents the GBS guy from being particularly aggressive, right, especially if he's planning on destroying drones. So, I don't know. It's just kind of a weird situation.
Yeah. Oh, Carl Bang is mentioning to Justin that there is no 96 impulse rule, by the way.
There is none? Good. Yeah, because it's like, to me, that just sounds like, you know, no. I think you just got a little overly quick on that particular presumption. And they should have been told to just play it out. Yeah. The downside is he loses all those drones. Then he's in a more even footing, maybe at a disadvantage against the GBS. So,
even if he used up all those, all 14 drones, if the GBS, you know, if he knocked them all down, I still think that Zinni at that point would still has the advantage at that point. Now,
in maneuver, yeah.
Maneuver and drones. I would say the number of drones he has less.
Yeah. But if he loses a bunch of drones, that's big. And also, we don't know. Another factor we don't know is what type of drones he had out.
Yeah. Well, according,
if he had a bunch of Type 4s out.
That's true. We don't know by which ones were.
How much of his capacity was he losing? Mm-hmm. How much of his damage capacity? So, yeah. He loses a huge advantage, though, if he loses that drone wave. So, I don't know. That's really up to Petrick, so.
Right.
Petrick made his ruling. You know, they can put their frickin' granny panties back on and go back about their lives.
Agreed. Agreed. So it's going to be, that's going to be an interesting fight, which is going to be Justin versus Greg. Greg is Spartan. It's going to be Zinti versus the RKR. The Romulan KR.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not going to have anybody sitting around on that one.
Well, you never know.
True.
No, because
we do
he
have.
Comes in at high speed, gets his two drone wave thing going, and the Romulan says, "Oh, that's so sweet." Launches, you know, 100 points of plasma and cloaks.
Well,
and it becomes a sub hunt game.
Well, we.
But a bunch of drones go away at the same time.
Mm-hmm. We have one of the semifinals matches set up, which is actually Condensed Stimpy, the guy who beat me in the Hydran, versus Bill Scheller, who's in the Klingon. A nice classic matchup.
Yeah, that is.
And of course, the Condensed Stimpy had to beat Man-Man, who was flying in the Lirin. Another classic.
Wow.
Yep.
Oh. Yeah. That's going to be interesting.
Yep. I would love to watch the Justin versus Greg. I think it's Greg. Jeff. Yeah. No, it's not Greg. It's Jeff. Jeff Clark. That definitely should be an interesting game. I'm hoping that will be announced Maybe most of the time. The problem is most of the time they go, oh, we're going to play on Friday night. Thanks. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Because I can't watch it on Friday night.
All right, because you're off there doing that other thing.
Called bowling. And hopefully, I'm praying heavily. Well, the problem is that I found out two weeks ago, now coming up on 2 weeks, my ball is illegal. They changed the rules when it comes to what balls are legal. I have a plug, basically a hole in my ball, which at this moment in time, it got changed like 3 years ago, and I haven't been bowling for like 4 or 5. This is, that's now illegal. Any hole has to be used for putting your fingers in. So I goofed. I'll admit I goofed.
So you have to get a new ball?
No, I have to get it filled. But I forgot to go last week to get my ball filled. So I had basically two play fair.
Other balls you can use there.
Yeah, I used a house ball, which sucks.
Well, guess what?
Yeah. Well,
sounds like you'll be sucking some more on those balls.
That's what I'll probably be doing tomorrow. That's what I'm hoping. I put it in on Wednesday. He said it should be done by Saturday. I'm hoping it'll be done by Friday. Which is when I'm bowling.
Yeah.
I'll just have to.
Good luck with your balls.
Yeah. No, I can go play with my balls.
Yeah.
But, so.
Everybody gets to sweat over playing with their balls in public. So there you go.
Yeah. So the issue was, of course, last week, the first time I tried to bowl a ball, I start walking towards the line, swing my ball backwards, I bring my hand forward, no ball.
Whoopsie.
Whoopsie.
Does that count?
No. The ball has to go across the line to actually count as they actually rolled the ball. Fortunately. Okay. And also it was practiced anyway, so... That was good to see, but still, I bowled around between 30 and 50 pins below my average. I'm used to having a grip on with my fingers on the ball. House balls don't have grip at all, you know. I was getting better, but anyhow.
Probably had to deal with some slippery balls on Friday then.
Yep.
Sounds like.
Yeah, they are.
Until definitely... they give you a properly crippable ball on Saturday.
Yep. Well, I'm hoping that will not, that either I will bowl much better with the house ball, or that I'm hoping more like that I actually get my ball back and it's all plugged up so it's all legal and so forth. Steve was gonna actually. Here's the fun part, guys. But Steve Cole said he was gonna talk to about the whole situation with Steve Petrick when he went out to lunch. And I'll double check this, but I'm feel pretty confident saying it was yesterday when he said this. Yeah, Steve Cole just posted on the web blog. Basically, a topic that gets locked down to only him. And he says, I was going to go to lunch with Patrick and then go to the golf. But it was snowing. As every previous day, the 6 inches of snow as measured by my patio furniture. I just shrugged and went to work anyway. Today, being on a cane, decided I did not have another 6 months to spend recovery from a broken hip and called Patrick he decided to stay home and watch YouTube. So unfortunately, they weren't able to discuss the issue at hand. Yeah, well,
yeah.
We got a little snow here, and fortunately, the only issue with the snow here was that I couldn't go anywhere on Monday morning because it's like I wasn't sure, was it going to be 1 inches, 2 inches, 3 inches? No, I didn't want to be slip sliding away in Berks County. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Totally understandable.
Yeah, how was snow your way? Anyway,
it was snow. It wasn't bad. We had. It wasn't much. It was a few inches. It covered the ground. State took off, so Sweetie got to stay home.
Good.
School took off preemptively.
Mm-hmm. Oh, understood.
And then the next day, the kids had a 2-hour delay, but
right.
Otherwise, it was just kind of like, you know, normalish. Not bad.
Good.
I did not go romping in the snow with my cane.
That's a good idea because I don't want you romping around in the snow with your cane, and then you trip and hurt your hip, and then that goes back to the hospital.
Or the other hip.
Yeah, either one. That would be not good.
I'm happy it was only one.
And then you'd be very hippie. One note. When it comes to SFB Online, it's kind of adjacent to it anyway, and that is actually Gary Carney posted this, but I also heard about this on Daily Tech News Show, the podcast I listen to, which is earlier this week, a pair of Steam OS related announcements were made at CES. That's why I heard it from Daily Tech News Shows because they're at CES, which is personally the first official Steam OS supported device from a company other than Valve was announced by Lenovo at this year's CES and reportedly due in May. Before then, the first public beta of Steam OS. For other handheld PCs such as Asus ROG, Ally X, if anyone knows about handheld PCs for gaming, that's one of the good ones, should be available by Valve. In the long run, understanding is that Valve intend to make SteamOS available as a general use Linux distribution for desktops and laptops. I'm not sure that's a good thing. Although there are a number of Linux distributions which presently incorporate Steam OS-like features, like Bazette, yeah, actually there's a couple of forks of Steam OS that are noticed. The only reason I bring this up, and that is I'm working towards getting it so that the SFB Online client is available as a flat pack, and Steam OS supports installing the client at the flat pack. So this is good news for me in that then Lenovo, actually, let me bring this up. Okay. Again, let me just do this and see if y'all can see it. Here it is. It looks a lot like the Steam Deck, but this is Lenovo's Legion Go S with Valve Steam OS, which is officially expected to launch in May. It looks like a Steam Deck, according to this. You can have either Go S, which can be powered by SteamOS. I think the other one is the option. Yeah, okay, here it is. The other option is you actually can have Windows 11 installed, and in which case I'm assuming, again, that you'd have the Steam client, you know, for buying things, purchasing things, and a lot of that stuff. And then you could download any Windows game onto that Steam Deck like device. Personally, I'm not sure how well that would work, the Windows version. Obviously, the SteamOS version I think might work better in that it's a known platform, and the Steam has its own store and library and so forth. And if you go actually into the store, one thing it will note. Actually, that's kind of cool. And that is, that was a mistake. Sorry about that. Got that. I turned on the sound. but it will tell you if it's Steam Deck compatible. Like for this one, where is it? It's meant for Windows, and I don't think it's. Yeah, I don't think this will work with the Steam Deck. Or with compatible. Yeah, I'm willing to bet it doesn't work with the Steam Deck. Starcom Unknown Space. It's kind of interesting. Oh, it looks like you actually build your own ships. Neat. But anyway, yeah, you can actually see. I thought they had. Okay, no, this is wrong. That's for this. I'm just looking here for a moment. I think this is actually the Steam Deck itself. I thought there was one where you actually could organize, you can look at things and say, okay, I don't want the games that are compatible with Steam Deck, because of normally games will have a listing for it, for
they work with.
Well, what they work with, is it Windows, Mac, Linux, Steam Deck, and when it comes to Steam Deck, it depends. There's a classification of how well it runs on the Steam Deck, because it could run beautifully. It's well integrated. It could be that it's not so good, or possibly not at all. I'd look at.
Yeah, I think back to my debacle with trying to get Eve to work on Linux.
Yeah, that's not good.
No, that was just a fail.
That's a total fail. There it is. Steam Deck compatibility. This one is verified. This one is auctioned, not included. I'm not sure how many people have ever played auctioned, not included. It's kind of a cool game, because, oops, I did it again. Sorry. There, you dig underneath caves and you have to do things to actually produce oxygen. If you don't produce enough oxygen and other materials, you basically die. I understand it. It's quite a fun game, but also it's a resource managing one. For those of you that like that kind of game. Whee! Hopefully we will not get pulled from YouTube for showing a little bit of action not included. So, if I do, I do, in which case it'd be my...
I sincerely doubt they're going to hunt you down for a copyright strike.
Agreed. Was that?
I don't know. What was that?
I don't know. Okay.
What was it? Was it a noise?
Yeah, it's like it's playing the video. When I bring up the mail app, it's playing the video from Steam. And somehow it enabled the sound. It's like, okay, well,
I have no idea.
I have no idea. And I'm just going to leave things be at the moment. I think it will be fine. As long as I don't do that again. Anyhow, I think we're going to leave it at that for this evening. We will definitely get together and talk about another topic or two or three next week. I didn't get much of a nap today, and I'm trying to get to bed a little bit earlier.
Oh, pluggy plug.
Pluggy plug time.
Yeah, Gamers of Winter's coming up.
Yes, it is.
Check out your listing. Let me know if it looks good. I think I listed your stuff for you.
That's actually... Let me see if I can do
it. Did I actually list it? I forget. That's why I'm telling you to go look.
Okay. Gamers of... Okay. Of Winter. .net! Remember that.
Nah.
Okay, and events. There's events. D&D, big surprise.
For a place for the summer.
And no, Paul said he's also bringing us. Yep, a separate universe.
Yeah. Nope,
Paul said, i.e., me, says he's also going to bring the SFB miniatures to use with some of the games. I will be doing that. Actually, gotta look to see where they are. My guess is that they're down in the basement or they're down there in my cabinet. In my office here. The plan
is... Also,
yes.
By the way, Paul,
mm-hmm.
I just wanted to point something out for you.
Mm-hmm.
On the Facebook thread for Gamers South Central PA Gaming Convention,
mm-hmm.
I shared a video. The video was from the Little Wars TV people.
Ah! Quick Strike 2025's challenge? Is that the one you're talking about? Okay.
Yeah. Go watch that video. Like, when you're done tonight, it's very short. And then sleep on that.
Okay.
Okay.
Well,
it's informational. They're doing a contest. I want you to, while you're thinking about it right now, go look at it when we're done talking.
We'll do.
Please. That way I don't have to ask you next week, did you look at that video? And you say,
what video?
What? Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. So that was my plug.
Okay.
Two plugs, actually.
Okay, someone does that.
Thank you, Paul.
You're welcome. Okay, just looking at that real quick. Someone owns it. I can't believe it. Oh, well. But don't. Whatever. Sorry, I was looking at GameWithTheWinners.com. Somebody owns it. They don't have a website up for it, but somebody owns it.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a problem I ran into ages ago.
Yeah, my guess. They're...
The very few times that I've been told, hey, Doug, it's open. I didn't have the money to go get it, so.
Yep.
Joy.
Joy, 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 joy. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. We got the joy, 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 joy. Down in my heart.
Be happy, joy, joy. Be happy, happy.
Hey, you started it. Oh, you got it in my brain. Okay. Well, anyway. Doug, you have a good night.
Thanks, Paul. You too. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, you're welcome. So, had a discussion about obviously the Sapphire Stars 18 tournament, what's going on there, and more importantly, a little discussion on the non-aggression. And obviously, to me, I think Doug will agree with the sentiment, which is I think both players showed non-aggression to a certain degree. Obviously, there are certain details which are missing, that which makes it hard to really define if there was true non-aggression, because as I said, you know, we don't know what happened with the drones. Did you fire other drones to knock them down? Did you fire them? Did you use a wild weasel after all? Because I didn't see anywhere how he dealt with all 14 drones or how many drones that have been launched at him. Obviously, because I know one of them was that he was at range 20. When he got four fast drones being launched at him. And it's like, okay, that was on turn, I think, 3. And they went all the way to turn 5, which means definitely at some point those drones must have caught up to him. So what did you do? So, you know, it is what it is. Anyway, with that, I am Paul France, and I bid you a good night.